This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me on episode 7 of our Bridge of the Faithful journey. And really quickly, I wanted to do an intro of myself because I know some of you don't know me and some of you haven't gotten to see that first podcast to get a little bit more information on what this whole thing is about. So I am the wife to the amazing man who does the tech for this podcast, and we've been married for about 10 years now. I am a nurse to the most amazing people, cancer patients, and I also teach fitness classes at the YMCA. So as you can see, I am no Bible professor or expert, and my only qualification in my Bible anything is my Bible minor from Cedarville University. I am the mother to 2 crazy, amazing little boys aged 4 and 2. And the whole start to this podcast was to journal through the things that God is teaching me as we start trying to transition over to full-time ministry. So as you can see, I am a normal, not huge Bible theology genius in the midst of a crazy, messy, beautiful life. And God is giving me the things to share with you because I figure you're probably in the close to the same boat as me in many ways. So before we move on to discussing trust in our faithfulness, I think it's important to understand what is faith. Hebrews 11 gives so many great descriptions and pictures of faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." The dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And what was the key word in that definition? Trust. Do we trust God enough? Do we trust Him enough to let ourselves be completely vulnerable and exposed to Him? Well, in all reality, we already are. He sees and knows everything about us. But what He wants is the willingness of giving it all to Him, to trust Him with the vulnerabilities and to let Him love us all the same. Do we struggle to trust God to love us? I know I do. I struggle with loving myself. I know my thoughts, weaknesses, faults, and mistakes. And frankly, many times when I see my reflection, either physically or metaphorically, I don't like what I see. For some reason, I am intent on focusing on all of the bad things that they overwhelm me. And I definitely do not love myself at those times. The farthest thing from my mind at those times is trusting that the God who sees all of that just as well, if not more than I do, could still ever want to love me. In these times, the number one thing we need to remember, God is the one who made us in His image, no less, and therefore we are inherently valuable. Add that to the price that He already paid for us on the cross, and our value to God is so beyond anything we could ever imagine, which I know makes it a really hard concept to grasp. So now that we've established that we have God's love and our value to Him, let's go back to trust. When we reveal ourselves willingly to Him, He takes the weight and frees us. But He doesn't rip it from us. He wants and waits for us to let Him have it. Does anyone else wrestle with trying to hold on to everything in life? I even do it in real life. I'll be doing something in the kitchen or a task at the hospital with my patients, and I literally catch myself struggling because I'm trying to hold on to all of my tools and pieces in my hands. I'm usually doing this because I'm trying to save time or space, but suddenly when I'm losing balance, getting clumsy and dropping, or I'm feeling completely trapped and claustrophobic by my inability to move well and have free hands, I suddenly remember, hey, I have something that I can set these down on. And that's what God wants to do for us. And from that, He crafts our burdens, weights, and weaknesses into something beautiful. But He wants us to give them to Him willingly, and He wants us to give it all. But it doesn't force our obedience by ripping them out of our hands. He waits for us to release our grip on them. We are afraid that when we reveal the things that we are ashamed of, that God will reject us. But what really happens is that He will pull us tight and close. A well-known example of this that Jesus gives us is found in Luke 15:11 through 32. I know that so many of you know this story, but for those of you who do not, here's a recap. A wealthy man has 2 sons. We won't discuss the other son at this time, but one son decides that he wants to disassociate himself from his father. He asks his father to give him his inheritance, which in their culture of the time was basically the same thing as telling him, "I wish you were dead." He then took the land that he inherited and sold it for cash, basically saying, "You are dead to me and I want no part of you." He then took the money and lived his wildest dreams. That is, until the money ran out. He was broke, his friends left him, and he had nothing left. He had nowhere to go, so he became a pig feeder, which to him would be the lowliest, most degrading job possible. One day he remembered that his dad has lots of food and always fed his servants. So he planned a speech, a confession of his sin, and was prepared to beg his father to hire him as a servant, even after everything he had done to him. So with a humble heart ready to bear it all, he returned home. And when he expected and deserved harsh words and painful punishments, he was met, before he even got there, with the very undignified, passionate, exuberant joy of his father running full tilt toward the son that he still loved and still wanted. We have a God who loves us, who wants us, and has big plans for us, but he won't force us to do them because he loves us too much. He wants us to want him, and he makes so many amazing things from the pieces of our lives that we give him. Sometimes, however, it's not the easiest to get our lives to that beautiful state. This is the next step of our trust, faith journey. We often hear the Christian-y refined through fire cliche, but what does that actually mean? Are you ready for another science lesson? I love science. So when precious metals like gold and silver are found naturally in the earth, they need to be mined from the veins in these chunks of rock. Once you get a good chunk with gold in it, it needs to be separated from all the other rock and metals that it's bound to. The best and most pure way to do that is, you guessed it, by a refining fire. The heat from the fire melts the gold and separates it from the rest of the non-gold sediment that it's about to be, or that it's bound to. What happens is that the gold gets hot and it separates itself from the impurities and they float to the top and are easy to visualize and skim out. But a deep clean needs to be done for you to get all of those impurities to reveal themselves. Unfortunately, this heating and skimming needs to be done more than once because a different temperature causes different chemical reactions, and therefore not all impurities can be removed with only one heating. The more times it's tested through different fire temperatures, the purer the gold will be. The job is done when the refiner can see his reflection in the molten gold, which usually is about 7 times. God's power and faithfulness are reflected the brightest in us through our weakest, most heated moments. We are afraid that when we reveal the things that we are ashamed of, that God will reject us. But instead, what he's doing with them is taking them out of our hands when we let them float out of ours. And he is making us more beautiful, which makes us show his face's reflection more clearly in our lives. Is it hard to do that? Absolutely. Is it scary to do that? Sometimes. But that is where faith and trust meet. Patricia Shire said in her Armor of God Bible study, which made it kind of click for me, faith is when we act like God is telling the truth. God is on our side. Do we trust that? If not, is that what's holding us back from being faithful to God? Or if we do believe that God's on our side, what is holding you back? Fear is often the reason we don't step forward. Fear of the unknown, fear of consequences, fear of what we will lose, fear of making the wrong step, etc. An example of being too afraid to do what God tells us to do can be found in Mark 10:17-31. A rich man went up to Jesus and basically said, "I've always obeyed your commandments and I've always kept your rules. What else am I required to do?" Jesus told him to sell all of his things and to follow Jesus. But the rich man wouldn't do it. He didn't have to question whether or not God was truly calling him to that action. Jesus literally said it to his face. We will never know what he missed out on, but I can say that I know he wouldn't have regretted it despite the loss of his comforts. Guys, fear and faith cannot coexist. They will always wrestle each other until one wins the space. And since I'm on a roll with all the cliches today, I'm going to give another one to you. A Native American proverb talks about two wolves that are eternally fighting each other in our minds. One wolf represents the evil of the world and our evil thoughts. The other, all of the good. Each person has this battle going on constantly inside of them. And the big question is, which wolf will win? The answer, the one you feed. Will we feed our fears and let ourselves be afraid of whatever is facing us, lose hope and give up? Or will we look at God's promises and step over that fear, trusting that God has our back and loves us deeply and let faith lead us forward? In her book, Nothing to Prove, Jenny Allen says, "What a waste if we get to heaven and realize all these years we could have spent trusting God's abundance rather than fearing he would not provide." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and trust that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." We can trust God because he has proven true over and over again. Remember, Jesus is our alpha male lion fighter, our protector, and we are his territory. Think Aslan from Chronicles of Narnia. But standing next to something as powerful as a lion can be scary. Can we trust him to keep us safe? How many times through history and in our own lives has he proven a resounding yes? So where do we start in building this trust? I know it's not something that magically happens overnight. What makes us trust someone? By getting to know a person on a personal level. How do we get to know God personally? By studying his word. Here's an example of a trust situation through getting to know someone. My husband, Josh, knows me. One would hope after 10 years. So when we got married, Josh wanted to surprise me with what we did on our honeymoon because he knows I love surprises. Check number one. So for months leading up to this final decision, he studied me. He asked me questions about what I like to do, beach versus mountains, my favorite types of restaurants, things I had never done but wanted to try, etc. Because I knew that he had taken the time to get to know me and that his true motivation was because he loves me and wanted to make a great trip for both of us, I trusted him to plan this trip. And all I had to do was show up and follow along. And he did not disappoint. I love a mix of adventure with a little bit of romantic. We went to Colorado Springs and did hiking. We went to great restaurants. We built into some of our favorite date things. We had so much fun. And it went so well because of our trust and willingness to dig deep and get to know each other. This trust is the stepping stone to our next topic, faithful obedience. Jenny Allen also says in her book, "We will never kill our fears, though we tend to spend a lot of time trying to do so. We are called to walk on water and to do so boldly despite our fears. Every time we risk, we place our lives into the hands of our God and test his enoughness." Do you trust God with all the pieces of your life? If not, are you willing to study him more so you can feel free to place those pieces in his hands? I am by far still a work in progress, but I can 100% say that in those times when I do, it is so worth it and a million times better than anything I could have done on my own. Psalm 9:7 through 10. "But the Lord reigns forever. Executing judgment from his throne, he will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you."
This has been episode 7 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Trust and Faithfulness. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/7.